It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You and I, as children of God, wait for His return. That is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back in the clouds for us. The Bible teaches us that He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. And the Bible says that we're to talk about this. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That we are to comfort one another and help each other realize that we're not always going to be going through a difficult time. There's coming a time that we, as children of God, are going to be caught up and be together with our Lord. But you know, the Bible also speaks and calls us a bride, the bride of Christ. Now, I'd like for us to look at two brides that we find in the Word of God. First, I see the Jewish bride, and then I see the bride of Christ. Well, let's look at some ceremonies that takes place with the Jewish bride and also with the bride of Christ. There's a comparison here between the Jewish wife and the Lamb's wife. First, I see a major step in a Jewish marriage was the betrothal stage. Betrothal involved the establishment of a marriage covenant. Well, by Jesus' time, it was usual for such a covenant to be established as the result of the prospective bridegroom taking the initiative. Well, Jesus made a new covenant, in other words, a new testament. According to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and 24, it says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then we look in Matthew chapter 26, and we read these verses and these words. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Verse 28 of Matthew 26 goes on to say, for this is my blood of the new testament, or in other words, a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Well, a bridegroom or representative, according to the Jewish tradition, would travel from the father's home to the home of the prospective bride. And the father of the bridegroom would send his representative to negotiate with the father of the young woman. And once again, a price, and in the Jewish word, mohar, M-O-H-A-R, that is a price that he must pay to purchase the bride. Well, in comparison, as we study the Word of God, we see Jesus left heaven to negotiate a price for his bride. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, we see Jesus, who was not only God's representative, he also paid the price to become the bridegroom of the church. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we keep reading in the book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 10, where it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, guess who is God's representative now? Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. He's with the Father in heaven. Well, who is God's representative now? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, if you've named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and you've been saved, you are God's representative, and so am I. Well, the bridegroom paid a purchase price according to a Jewish tradition, paid the price, and the marriage covenant was thereby established. Well, Jesus also paid the price. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 goes on to say, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Well, according to Jewish tradition, we keep studying this, and after the purchase price was paid for the Jewish bride, the bride was declared set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. Now, a declared question. Don't you know? The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own. That's what the Bible says about you and I who name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, let me read that whole verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Don't you know this? God is saying today to us who name Him as our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Well, a symbol of the covenant relationship for the Jewish bride, there was a cup of wine, and it was shared by the groom and the bride. I do not believe for one moment that this would have been considered in biblical, as we look at the Bible and study the Word of God, there is a contrast here. Now, let me read this, and as we go on, think of this, that God has given us instruction in the Word of God that you and I, as saved people, are not to even look upon wine as it moveth aright. In other words, we're not to partake of fermented wine, fermented drink, fermented grape juice. This is a contrast, and I'm going to read some verses in just a moment about this, in comparison with the Jewish tradition and with our tradition as saved people. Well, as for the Jewish tradition here, the groom and bride would drink from a cup of wine over which a betrothal benediction had been pronounced. Well, in the same manner as the Jewish bridegroom came to the bride's home for the purpose of obtaining her through the establishment of a marriage covenant, so Jesus came to earth for the purpose of obtaining the church through the establishment of a covenant. On the same night in which Jesus made his promise in John chapter 14, he instituted what we know as communion. Well, as he passed the cup of wine, this would be grape juice. Let me reinforce that. God nowhere contradicts his word. And we understand as we study the word of God that this wine mentioned in the Lord's Supper is not fermented wine. Fermentation represents sin. Jesus Christ would never have used something that represented sin. So notice this, that Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood." Nowhere do we find that Jesus' blood was tainted with sin, tainted with the things of this world, tainted with something that would even resemble sin. "This cup," he said, "is the New Testament." A covenant, in other words, in my blood. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 talks about that. And notice that Christ made the covenant, not man. After the same manner also, Jesus said, after he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or New Covenant, in other words, in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, there's no question that you and I, as saved people, the first thing we do when we get saved is to be immersed. We are to be baptized, immersed into the water. This is something that God has said, Jesus said, that we need to do according to what he has set down for a new Christian, that Christian, that person who has been born again, the first thing they do is go into what we call the watery grave. Why do we call it that? Because as that person who is getting baptized, you and I, we got baptized, at least I pray you're baptized according to the scripture. Now, baptism does not save you, but it's something that God has told us we need to do. Because when we stand in that water, that's a representation of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go down into the water, under the water, that is a representation of Christ going in the grave. That's a representation of us dying to the old life, and then when we come up out of that water, it's a representation of rising to the new life, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's one thing that we are to do as new Christians. The next thing we are to do, an ordinance, not a sacrament, we are to partake of the Lord's table. It's not a question of should we, it's a question of when should we do that. Well, we should do that when it's offered in our local church. And it's something that God has placed before us that we have the privilege of partaking in. It's something he told us to do, and we can do that. Well, notice, he said, this cup is the New Testament, or in other words, the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Do you want to show God's remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you remember Jesus Christ, his son? Do you want to show Jesus that you are recognizing that he is the one who's told us to take the cup and to drink of it? And as often as we do it, it's in remembrance of him. I want people to know that I'm born again. And as I partake of that, that is a witness to the people around that I have gone from death unto life because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Baptism does not save, and neither does the Lord's table. It's showing obedience to God's command that we are to do these things in order to show that we are saved and that we love our Lord. Well, there's so many things that we can look at, and we'll continue this at another time about the marriage. And you keep listening, and we'll go through this lesson of comparison between the Jewish bride and the bride of Christ. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray for that soul today, Lord, who's not saved. I pray that person would trust you as Lord and Savior, realizing that they are a sinner and they need to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. 'Tis not of works, lest any man should boast.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.